الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته انقضاء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. أما الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. الله سبحانه وتعالى is informing us that fasting has been made a fariza on you the way it has been made a fariza on those who were before you. Maybe you become muttaqi. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So we learn in the light of this verse that the purpose of pursuing this divine obligation and duty and fariza of fasting is so that we can become muttaqi. And that's what we were discussing in these nights, the concept of taqwa in Islam. And I told you in the previous lesson the root of the word, which is actually a masdar, and literally it means defending anything through anything else. So what a muttaqi person does, actually he defends and protects himself in the process of treading the sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path which is right in this world. And the straight path is the path which has all those mahalik, all those risks and dangers which are facing us on that path. And that's where we ended up in the last lesson, on the fact that the scholars, my teacher had said, are alamul huda, the parcham and alam and symbol of hidayat and guidance. And because the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam reach the people through them, whereas our prophets and imams alayhi salatu wasalam are the actual alam and symbol of guidance, because the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam learned the knowledge from the imams, learned it from the Prophet, and the Prophet learned from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any wasita and means in the middle. Now, when they are that kind of symbol for the hidayat of the entire universe, there it also needs to be understood that imams, in addition to having the ismat in terms of their ilm and knowledge, they also have ismat and infallibility in terms of their amal. So not only they did not fail to protect the knowledge they learned from Allah, which is going to protect us to abstain from the risks and dangers on the sair and suluk towards Allah and the sirat al-mustaqeem, and the straight path that we are supposed to tread in this life. Not only they did not fail in protecting their knowledge that they gained, but they also did not fail in completely practicing their knowledge without leaving anything. So everything they learned, they practiced. So this is called al-ismatu al-itlaq, that means absolute infallibility, which we don't find that kind of infallibility in any of the prophets. With due respect to all, but none of the prophets had ismat of this absolute power in their knowledge and in their, obviously, in their amal as well. So that's why their actions are also completely hujjat, whereas we find the scholars, their actions are not hujjat. Amal of a mujtahid is not considered to be hujjat in Islam, in the fiqh, in the Islamic jurisprudence. We consider the qawl of the mujtahid, the statement of the mujtahid, to be hujjat only, and only those of the statements which are uttered in order to express the hukum of Allah, not all the rest of the statements. Whereas when it comes to the Prophet and the Imams, every statement they make without exception is hujjat equally. Whatever they ask us to do, we cannot pick and choose and say, well, they are not asking me to do, you know, anything about the Salat or Psalm or Hajj or Zakat or something, it's about something else, so I'm not liable to obey. We cannot pick and choose. Anything they ask us to do, it is perfectly wajib on us to obey. So their call and amal is completely hujjat. So when we are talking about that kind of personalities who are alam and symbol of hidayat in the complete sense of the word, then obviously any ta'alluq and attachment with them will also bring the athar on those who are muta'alliq and attached. See, some people are attached, they have ta'alluq and alaqat and attachments towards kufr. Isn't that right? And because of their attachment towards kufr, the signs and athar of ilhad and anti-God behaviors, deciding things on your own, anti-God behaviors and athar and impacts are visible in their policies and personalities. So we consider those who are attached with kuffar to be in the same hukum of kuffar without any difference. So look at, we find in Surah Al-Ghafir, verse 46, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the Aal of Fir'aun, those who were connected with Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. That means, enter the Aal of Fir'aun into the most severe of the punishments. So Aal of Fir'aun could not manage to escape from the punishments, from the most severe punishments. Actually, they faced the most severe punishments in the hellfire. So anybody who gets attached to the kufr, the athar of ilhad will appear in his behaviors, and he will be treated the way the kufr will be treated. So likewise, those who get attached towards nifaq, the asa have ta'alluq towards nifaq, they will have the athar of nifaq appearing in their policies and personalities, and they will be treated the way the munafiqeen will be treated. And munafiqeen are treated in the worst way because they are at the bottom. Isn't that right? Kuffar are on the top, whereas munafiqeen are in al munafiqeena fi darak al asfal min al nar. Munafiqeen are in the lowest stage of the hell. So likewise, moving towards those who have ta'alluq towards noor and iman, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is considered as the alam and symbol of tawheed in our Islamic glorious history. So anybody who wants to learn about tawheed should turn to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he is the one who is considered to be the pioneer of Tawheed. And not only he himself is a symbol, but those who get attached to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and do tab'iyyat and they obey in his policies will also have the athar of Tawheed coming in their personality and their policies. So, قَدْ كَانَ, Quran says in Surah Al-Mumtahana, verse number 4, قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ, certainly for you lies a good role model in Ibrahim, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and those who were with him, in other words. So, that's what we learn in the light of the verse. So, certainly for you there was Uswatun Hasana. And our Prophet and Imams alayhi salam, being afdal and superior than Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, so they are alam and a symbol of Iman and Taqwa to a highest level. So any ta'alluq and attachment towards them will bring us to be having the athar in our appearing, the athar and signs appearing in our personality and our policies. And this is going to make us join them. So we will be counted in the zumra, in the category of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Nobody can be like them. But we have to join them in their caravan. If we have attachment and, you know, and we take them as our role model and we make ourselves attached with them by tab'iyyat and obedience and following their footsteps, this is going to bring the athar in our personality and policies. So they were such a big symbol of guidance that loving them and their love is actually considered to be the sign of 100% Iman. Not 70% Iman, not 80% Iman. 100% of your Iman is going to be proven with your 100% love towards them. So their love is the symbol of the entire Iman. And likewise, the opposite is also true. Their hatred and bughd and adawat and envy and, you know, and anyone who has bagha and hatred towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, this is a 100% sign of the person being munafiq. If he reads the kalima, he is a munafiq. If he doesn't read the kalima, he is obviously a kafir. And the bughd of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, in addition to being the sign of nifaq, it is also the sign of a person being illegitimately born. So look at the hadith of Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, Hikmat number 45, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, لَوْ ضَرَبْتُ خَيْشُومَ الْمُؤْمِنِ بِسَيْفِ هَذَا, if I strike the neck of, in other words, which I am paraphrasing the, in my own words, if I strike the neck of a mu'min, بِسَيْفِ هَذَا, with this sword of mine, عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُبْغِضَنِي, so that he ends up hating me, مَا أَبْغَضَنِي, he is not going to hate me. Even if Imam Ali alayhi salam kills a mu'min, even if Imam Ali alayhi salam strikes the neck of a mu'min for the sake of the thing that you end up hating him, the mu'min is still not going to hate him. Ma abghadani. Walau sababtu dunya bijammatiha alal munafiqi. And if I give away the whole dunya with all what it carries, everything that it has, not $1 million, not $1 billion, the whole dunya. If I give the whole dunya to a munafiq, so that at the end you end up loving me, start loving me. So that the munafiq loves Imam Ali, ala an yuhibbani ma ahabbani. He is not going to love me. وَذَلِكَ إِنَّهُ قُضِيَ فَانْقَضَى عَلَى لِسَانِ نَبِيِّ الْأُمِّي. That's because it is decided. It got decided on the statement, on the lisan That means Prophet decided it already. It's a done deal. It's decided by the lisan of the Prophet who was Ummi, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Annahu qal, that Prophet said, Ya Ali, la yubghidhuka mu'min, O Ali, no mu'min can hate you, wala yuhibbuka munafiq, and no munafiq can love you. So basically, it's a done deal. What the Prophet has said is like a mark on the stone. It cannot be altered and changed and cannot be falsified. It's a, anybody who loves Imam Ali alayhi salam, anybody, any mu'min can never end up loving Imam Ali, can never end up buh and hatred, doing the hatred towards Imam Ali alayhi salam, and any munafiq can never end up loving him, regardless of what you try to offer him. So this is not the path we are supposed to tread to waste our times. There are certain unchangeable principles of Islam, and we need to adapt ourselves according to those Quranic and Hadith-based principles for our success. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is the considered to be Imam al-Muttaqeen. This is one of the muhtas, one of the specific attributes of Imam Ali alayhi salam. No one but him is considered to be Imam al-Muttaqeen, the leader of all the pious. And let's go to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we find hub and bugh of Imam Ali is the mizan and milak of iman and nifaq of a person. Actually, we have narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas and Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari and Huzaifah ibn al-Yaman. Three of them have narrated collectively that whenever we wanted to judge somebody, whether he is a legitimately born son of his mother or he was illegitimately born child, we used to always mention the subject of Imam Ali alayhi salam's love in front of the guy and just see his behavior, how he changes, how he shows, how he reacts. The way he reacted towards the concept of the hub and love of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we understood and derived whether he's a legitimate child of his mother or not. So Prophet has said in his hadith, according to this narration, which is narrated in Biharul Anwar, volume 7, that, again, which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words, Prophet said, on the day of judgment, and no one would be riding except four of us. That means nobody would be riding any ride, any markab, any vehicle, of except four of us. Abbas, who was the uncle of the Prophet, Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, he said to the Prophet that, other than you, who are the rest of the people? And Prophet replied that I will be riding Buraq. You know, Buraq was a special vehicle, markab, that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Holy Prophet, his most beloved servant, for the sake of Mi'raj and ascension. So Prophet said, I will be riding Buraq. In other words, Saleh, Prophet Saleh alayhi salam will be riding the Naqa of Allah azza wa jal that his people killed. So Prophet Saleh will be riding that Naqa of Allah, that she camel of Allah. And my uncle Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, who is the line of Allah and the line of his messenger and Sayyid al-Shuhada. Remember, Prophet gave him the title of Sayyid al-Shuhada in those days. Hazrat Hamza alayhi salam is Sayyid al-Shuhada in those days. So my uncle Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, who is the line of Allah and the line of his messenger, and Sayyid al-Shuhada, will be riding my camel. Remember, the name of the camel of Rasulullah was Azba. So the camel of the Naqa of Prophet was called Azba. So Hazrat Hamza will be riding the naqa of Rasulullah. And my brother Ali will be riding a camel among the camels of paradise. And the people will, when they would see him, that means when the people will see Imam Ali al-Salam, they will say, this person can either be a messenger, either be a prophet, or a close angel of Allah. And they will be a munadi, they will be an announcer from the batin of the arsh, who will announce that he is neither a close angel nor a prophet who had been sent, nor the hamil, the carrier of the arsh. He is Ali ibn Abi Talib, wasiyyu rasul rabbil alameen wa imam al muttaqeen. So this is going to be announced on the Day of Judgment in front of everyone. Everyone will be, Imam Ali will be introduced to the entire universe. Everyone with these of the titles. So he is the wasi of Rasulullah, wasi of Rasul Rabbil Alameen. He is the deputy of the messenger of the Lord of the universe and Imam and leader of all the muttaqeen. So this is something which Imam Ali al-Islam, is specific to have. He has a huge list of specific titles and specific attributes. Some of those were not even found with Rasulullah, that he himself has mentioned in his own hadith. Isn't that right? That Atani Khamsan wa Ata Aliyan Khamsan. Utitu Salasan, Allah gave me 5 and Allah gave Ali 5. In another hadith, Prophet says, Utitu Salasan wa Aliyun Mushariki Fiha. Allah, I have been given 3 in which Ali is a partner. وَأُعْطِيَ عَلِيٌّ سَلَاسًا. And Ali had been given 3. وَلَمْ أُشَارِكْهُ فِيهَا. And I am not a partner in those. So there are 3 sifat that Imam Ali, that the Prophet says in his hadith, that he, according to that narration, that he was given, which Imam Ali al-Islam has, which the Prophet is not a partner into that. Obviously, one is related to and the wife, Imam Ali al-Islam's wife is like his Hazrat Fatima al-Islam, which even the Prophet didn't have a wife like him, like her, isn't that right? And Imam Ali al-Islam was given sons like Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi al-Islam. Even the Prophet was not given sons like Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Isn't that right? That's a fact. And Imam Ali al-Islam was given the power, the quwwat, the power and strength that Prophet was commanded to seek, to call him for help, and that kind of strength was not given to the Prophet. So, a human being is just like every creature in this world is mutaharrik, how the philosophers say, bi harakatin jawhariya. We, as the rest of the members of this universe, are all in movement. In philosophy, everything which is part of this world is in movement. Nothing is stationary. Even those of the things that you see as stationary, philosophically, are not stationary, are moving. So things, we are in the movement. So we are moving from the potential towards the current powers and attributes. So everyone is moving. Now some are moving towards the positive gains, whereas some are moving towards the negative gains. When we are all in movements and moving towards gains, positive gains or negative gains in our life, and given the fact that any vehicle which is moving requires a brake. Speed without braking system is destruction. Isn't it right? If you talk about speeding, but you don't have the appropriate braking system in place, You're talking about annihilation and destruction. Isn't that right? So speed is nothing without braking. So likewise, so the human being is also like this. When we are in the movement and we are, we are supposed to achieve and attain our spiritual achievements in this life, then we are facing dangers and risks on this path, then we need braking system that can stop us in the time of dangers, from stop us from falling into those dangers and risks by abiding with certain usul and dhawabit and principles which are derived from the aql and the naql, the intellectual evidences and the narrative evidences. This power that stops the human being in his movement towards spiritual gains in the life of this world, stopping them and protecting him from falling into risks and dangers, and through abiding by certain principles which are derived from the intellect and the narrated evidences, this power of the of putting a freeze and stop on the behavior of a on the movement of a human being in the event of falling into harms and dangers is called taqwa. Taqwa is the inner power in the soul of a person that stops you from falling in the event of dangers. Now sometimes, obviously, the power of the braking has to be appropriate, in accordance, in sync, in harmonious with your speed and the nature of that existence. If your speed is less and your existence is lesser in its activity, then a lesser braking system can work. But if you are supposed to govern your whole family, you are the head of your family, you are the wali and head of your family, so this, your jurisdiction and domain of activity and operation is now vaster, isn't that right? So there are a whole bunch of other human beings whose spiritual and material life is at stake and under your command, supposed to be under your command. If you are governing a city, isn't it right, then your jurisdiction is further vast. What if you are governing a country? And what if you are governing in the entire Islamic Ummah? Then your spiritual power and taqwa, which serves as a braking system from the dangers, falling into dangers and all, has to be on the highest possible level that a human being can achieve. Isn't that right? I remember for Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayhi said to some people that Shuma ek nanwai raham nahi thani idare kuni. You guys cannot even govern a bakery where they bake the bread. This is your status of your spirituality, in other words. So it depends on how much powerful a person is. When we talk about the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, well, they are the mudir and the ones who are managing and governing successfully the entire universe. Not just their own families or a city or a country or the Islamic Ummah only, or the countries in this world, or the humankind only and the jinns, but the entire universe. Everything reports back to them. You imagine anything that you can imagine, and things that we don't even imagine, because we don't even know. Isn't it right? So things that we don't even know. When Prophet Yunus alayhi salam was taken into the stomach of the fish, and that fish was eaten up by a second fish, and Allah converted the walls of those fishes as transparent. And that fish was commanded by Allah to take him around into the depths of seven seas. And he was shown the ajaib and the wondrous and surprising things which are found in the seas. The seas has the wonders.
Imam Sajjad al-Islam says in Dua al-Josh al-Kabir that we recite in the Layali al-Qadr, in the nights of Qadr, Imam Sajjad al-Islam, in this Dua, it is said that Ya man fil bihari ajaibuhu, O you who has his ajaib in the seas. So we don't even know, the human beings don't even know the realities of the things, isn't it right? We just know a fraction of what exists. So our imams are in control and in charge of every existence. So obviously their ismat and taqwa has to be the breaking system, the spiritual breaking system to stop them from falling into possible dangers and harams. That power and quwwat and malaka of taqwa has to be of the highest possible level. So none of the dangers can actually harm or derail the person. So that highest level of taqwa, which is found only in the souls of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, is actually classified as ismat. Ismatun mutlaqa, the absolute infallibility. The absolute level of infallibility is only found in these 14 infallibles and no one other than them. And that is actually the highest level of taqwa. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. Inshallah, we'll continue the discussion in the next lesson.